Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Each of us is here today in part because we have a desire to live a life aligned to the will of God. But what exactly is the will of God, and how does it play a part in our life? Some look at the will of God as deciding every last bit about our lives on earth, to the point where they believe we are only along for the ride. These people take little or no action unless they sense that God is directing them to take that course of action. They come across as very devoutly religious, presenting themselves as fully surrendering to God. And yet by waiting on a nod from God on the direction they are to go in life before taking any action, these people are in their own way looking for a sign from heaven, a sign from God about what they should do. And Jesus showed that people who seek a sign, a signal from God, are part of a wicked and adulterous generation. Instead of looking to God and Jesus Christ for signs in our lives about the course of action we should take, we should have faith that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Son of God, whose sacrifice gives forgiveness of sins so that we can have eternal life. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. During the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus went into the temple to teach and amazed everyone because Jesus had not had the luxury of a formal education. To the crowd, Jesus was an uneducated person who was a paradox because he had incredible knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. When Jesus taught of the doctrine of God and the doctrine he taught, Jesus linked knowing the doctrine to doing the will of God the Father. If we do not do the will of God, we will err in the doctrine we have, as it will not be of God the Father. John 7, verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. We know from the Bible that doing the will of God is not a natural occurrence on earth. We cannot take it for granted in our life, nor can we expect others to naturally do the will of God. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he not only taught them about God's continuing promise to provide for us and the need for forgiveness, Jesus also taught of the need for the kingdom of God to be done and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The way that we come to understanding the will of God, of discerning the will of God, is not through a sign that God gives us. We come to discern the will of God by doing what God expects of us on a daily basis. And this begins with living a life of sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his body so that we can have forgiveness, and we are to be a living sacrifice, and we are to be holy. That means we do not live a life selfishly focused on ourselves, but we live a life focused on others while also remaining holy, doing what God would expect of us. We also are not to be conformed to this world. Whatever this world does is most likely focused in some way on evil, and we must be different than the evil that is part of this world. We are to be the contrast to what others see in this world, and we become the contrast to what others see in this world, not through some act of extreme stubbornness or weirdness, but through the Holy Spirit that renews our mind and allows us to be that living sacrifice. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, when we live our life as a living sacrifice and do what God expects of us, we are empowered to prove, to discern what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Doing the will of God is important, because if we are not doing the will of God, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom of God, we must do the will of God. It is insufficient to claim the name of God the Father and to claim the name of Jesus Christ. It is insufficient to prophesy or to preach with inspiration. It is insufficient to perform miracles, such as casting out demons and other events that are too numerous to list. If we are not doing the will of God, God will not know us, and we will not be saved. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We like to think of Jesus Christ as the oldest spiritual brother in the family of God. And that is a good comparison for us to use. If we want to be part of the spiritual family of Jesus Christ, we must do the will of God the Father. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So let's begin to understand what the will of God is, as described in the Bible. During the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the disciples thought of Jesus as a very important person, a VIP, and likely thought Jesus had better things to do with his time than spend time on people who seemed to be throwing their life away. Jesus made it perfectly clear that the will of God is not that even one person should perish. To put in other words, the will of God is that all people be saved and have eternal life. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Within the Church of God, it is easy for us to forget about these other people whose minds are still conformed to this world, whose minds have not been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And somehow, to some degree, we think we are different than they are. We might see ourselves as living a more godly life, being more righteous than these others. We might see ourselves as being saved while these others are condemned. Jesus tells us not to think this way. Because when we focus on what we are doing, we can deceive ourselves into thinking we are doing the will of God when in fact we are not. Jesus gave a parable of a man with two sons, one who told his father he would do the work in the vineyard, but did not, and one initially who told his father he wouldn't do the work, but had a change in heart and did the work. Jesus asked which son did the will of his father, and then told the priests of the temple to whom he was speaking that the tax collectors and prostitutes would enter the kingdom of God before they would. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The temple is long gone, as are the priests of the temple. But if Jesus came today to speak to the priests of God, where would he go? We believe he would come to the church of God, that Jesus would have this conversation with all who are part of the church of God. Are we doing the will of God, or have we deceived ourselves that we are doing the will of God? If we have deceived ourselves, then many will enter the kingdom of God before us. We err sometimes because in how we handle ourselves, because the words we read in the Bible. We read our own interpretation into the words, and we believe we have done well. For instance, we know if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We focus on that phrase without considering the definition of the world given in the very next verse, and somehow believe we are to disregard the people of this world who are part of all people who God wishes to bring to salvation. What is in the world that we must not love is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John does not tell us to ignore or disregard the people. He does tell us that we are to do the will of God so that we can live forever. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote that we were called and predestined to become children of God through Jesus Christ. Paul writes of predetermination of salvation and adds that at a future time, we will be gathered together to obtain our inheritance, eternal life in the kingdom of God. And that this is made possible by the death of Jesus. Exactly what was predestined? Are we merely playing roles in the script of the universe written and directed by God the Father, starring Jesus Christ, with each of us in a supporting role? Is every last little thing that happens in life, such as the last thing you ate or drank, also predetermined? When tragedy happens, is that the will of God? The will of God is that all people be saved and what was predestined, what was predetermined, what was decided in advance was not the last thing you or I ate or drank, but that Jesus would come to earth as a human, live a sinless life, and die so that all of our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. God is not micromanaging our lives, nor is God a concierge. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory the first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Having gratitude is part of the will of God. When we live our life in gratitude, we tend to be more accepting and less judgmental of others. When we live a life of gratitude, our perspective changes, and we move from an entitlement mentality where we believe we are owed something to an attitude understanding what we have, whether it be spiritual or physical, is a gift from God. Part of the will of God is to not repay evil when we are victims of evil, but to do good even when evil is committed against us. Part of the will of God is to rejoice, to be happy. In our life, with all of the challenges we have, there is every reason to be negative, to be angry, to be seriously minded to the point where there is no happiness. We need to remind ourselves that part of the will of God is to be happy. If we cannot be happy in our calling, why would we even begin to think we would be happy in the kingdom of God? Given our calling at this point in our life, it is the will of God that we be happy, because if we live a sad and dejected life, why would people who are just in the initial stages of being called respond positively to God's calling after interacting with us. These people would likely be discouraged by the faith because of our sadness. When we keep in check the will of God in our life through prayer, then we do not quench the Holy Spirit. We prove what the will of God is, holding fast to that which is good, while we abstain from even the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. It is the will of God that we obey the laws of man, with the understanding that when there is a conflict between the two, we obey God rather than man. And the reason for this is so that we may do well and put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Foolishness comes in many different ways, and the word used for foolish in the passage we will read in 1 Peter is aphron, Strong's Greek word 878, which means egotistical stupidity. It is the will of God that we put to silence the people who live with egotistical stupidity, and part of how we do this is by obeying the laws of men. People who disobey the laws of men when there is no conflict with the laws of God are focused on how their thinking is right and everybody else's thinking is wrong. It is also the will of God that we use what we are given by God to be servants of God and not to be malicious. Today, we think of maliciousness as a mean and vengeful act that brings harm to another person. The word used in the Bible, kakia, Strong's Greek word 2549, means purposefully making something worse, like a cancer. It is also not the will of God that we make things worse, but that we make things better. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the King. It is through the Holy Spirit that we come to understand the will of God in our life, as the Holy Spirit proves what is acceptable. It is through the Holy Spirit that we do not fellowship with unrighteousness. We reprove unrighteousness, not through a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. It is by redeeming the time, knowing the days we live in are evil, and through the Holy Spirit that we understand what the will of God is, as we focus not on the things of this world, but on the things that are of God and of His kingdom. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Jesus, we may come to certain parts of our life where our preferences, what we will, are different than what God wills for our life. If Jesus went to God knowing there was a difference in his personal preference, the will Jesus had for his own life, and what God the Father wanted, the will of God, it should not be considered strange when we come to realize that the will of God is different than our personal preferences or will for our immediate future. Like Jesus, we need to accept the will of God over our own will. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he come unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Paul explained why David was a man after God's own heart when Paul was preaching in Antioch. Paul explained that David was a man after God's own heart because David did all of God's will. We know from the Old Testament that David was an imperfect man who was on occasion punished by God for his actions. And yet, because David did the will of God, David was a man after God's own heart. Acts 13, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the same time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. In writing the 40th Psalm, David wrote that it brought him delight to do the will of God, as the law of God was within his heart. Because David was doing the will of God, David also called on God for favor and protection, that God gave David tender mercies and be quick to provide assistance to him, to protect him from his enemies and confound his enemies, that all who call on God may rejoice in God. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the errors of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that saith unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. David knew the will of God was on display in what he saw in the sky, on earth around him, and in the waters of the sea. The world around us is not something to be worshipped, and serves as a reminder of the will of God. Tragically, we live in a society that worships the creation, having rejected the Creator. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and all deep places. Proverbs teaches that if we trust in God and lean not on our own understanding, that God will direct what we do. In other words, if we trust in God and lean not on our own understanding, God will lead us to his will for us in life. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own ways. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. When our ways please God, not only will our enemies be at peace with us, as we make plans for our future, God will lead us on the best pathway into the future. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Throughout our life, with all the people we know, it is the will of God that must stand firm in our life and must always take precedence over people we know, as holding fast to the will of God will lead to life and minimize the impact of evil in our life. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful hand hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will be aware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. As Jesus came to do the will of God the Father, and not his own will, Jesus added that the will of God the Father is that all who believe that Jesus came and died for our sins and was resurrected with eternal life will also have eternal life. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In writing to Timothy, Paul explained that the will of God is to have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Peter also wrote of this will of God, that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Hebrews, we read that it is after we do the will of God that we receive the promise of salvation and eternal life. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We know that we must do the will of God to be saved, that the will of God involves many things, including bringing all people to repentance and salvation, that we do not use our faith as a cloak of maliciousness, instead using our faith to live a life where, when there are no conflicts with the law of God, we obey the laws of man. We know the will of God involves living our life with gratitude, that it is the will of God that we be happy, that through prayer we have a relationship with God. When we measure ourselves to doing the will of God, which we must do to have eternal life, how do we measure up? However we measure up, we can take comfort in the words of Paul to the Romans, knowing that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Only we can choose to separate ourselves from the love of God. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered them up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? As it is written, for thy sake we are called all the day long, as we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the will of God that nothing separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. So let us do the will of God so that all people can receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.